after many births and deaths, he was actually acknowledged surrendered unto me, knowing me to be the causes of all causes and all of this. Such a great soul is very rare. The ruling entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals, after many, many births, may actually become situated in transcendental pure knowledge. But the supreme personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. In the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there's some leaning towards impersonalism. But then one is further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in the spiritual life, and that these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the supreme personality of Godhead and surrenders to him. At such a time, one can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything, that he is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of spiritual variegatedness, and realizes that in everything there is a relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Thus he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the highest goal. Such surrendered Supreme Souls are very rare. This verse is very nicely explained in the 3rd chapter, verse 14 and 15 of the Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam Upanishad. In the Chandogya Upanishad it is said, Na chashunkshi, na shrotani, na manamsiti, achakshate prana iti, evachakshate prano kevaitani sarvani balanti. In the way of a living being, neither the power to speak, nor the power to see, nor the power to hear, nor the power to think is the prime factor. It is life which is the center of all activities. Similarly, where Vasudeva, or the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is the prime entity in everything, in this body there are powers of speaking, of seeing, of hearing, and mental activities. But these are not important if not related to the Supreme Lord. And because Vasudeva is all pervading and everything is Vasudeva, the devotee surrenders in full knowledge. Bhagavad Gita 7:17 and 11:40. Nam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shinami. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurani Pracharye Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskratyade Shatarye. Deva Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Hare Rama, 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 Rama.
by chance that one day before a great initiation ceremony, this verse has been selected. The verse again says, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Yanavan Man Prapatyate Vasudeva Saramiti Samahasma Surhulava. After many births and deaths, he was actually acknowledged, surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. An intelligent person can see that within the body, the activities of speaking, of seeing, of hearing, thinking, can only take place in the presence of the soul. When the soul leaves the material body, there is no perception of seeing or of hearing. You could speak into the eye or ear of a dead person, but obviously you will not register anything any longer because the life is gone. The soul is no longer present. So just like in the body, the soul is the important factor. Similarly, in the body of the universe, the Supreme Soul, or Krishna, is the important mover. A few days before Srila Prabhupada left his body, he expressed this by saying, everyone and everything is moving under the control of Krishna. To understand this, that is Krishna consciousness. It's a wonderful motto for life. Everything and everyone is moving under the control of Krishna. To understand this, that is Krishna consciousness. So, after it may take many births and many lives and many deaths until a conditioned soul comes to this understanding. In the Gita, as it said, some hear about the soul but can't believe it. In the same way, some people hear about God but can't believe it. I remember a little while ago, I was in Weimar and met a well-known violin player, a Gabenspieler, who looked at me and said, young man, why are you dressed like this? He said, I'm a monk. A monk. What does a monk mean in your understanding? I'm a servant of God. You're naive. There is no God. No, I said, there must be God because you are here and I am here. He has controlled it. No, this has all happened by accident. Then I said, I want to tell you a story. Once there was Sir Isaac Newton, who had on his paper a model of the universe. There was a handle underneath the table you could turn. But when you turned the handle, the stars and planets would move just like they do in a tuba in nature. A friend came and said, wonderful, bellissimo, who has built this? And Newton said, no one. material accident. No. Can't heal by accident. Who made it? Which carpenter? No, there was an explosion in this room. Bang! And then everything fell into place. That's the origin of this model. Now, obviously the friend wouldn't take this for an answer and grew impatient. And so finally Newton stopped his friend and said, listen, I do not really understand your logic. When you look at the universe, which is so much more precise, so much more intelligently arranged than this tiny model, when you look at the universe, you say it happened by a big bang. And when you look at the little imitation universe, which we have constructed here, you demand to see an intelligence which arranged the stars. If there is by chance, how much more this must be by chance? Must happen by chance. Ah, said the man, the violin player. But why? Okay, you say there must be intelligence behind everything. But why God? This is what the old Greeks also made this argument. By the way, it's a foreign argument which Prabhupada has used. It's called the argument by Orwell, and it was used by Kant, and it's there in the Vedic scriptures. It's an old conscious device. So he said, this is what the Greeks also said. I accept there must be intelligence. So he said, at least this. But why do you limit this to a God, a person in the heavens, with a big gray beard and with a sorrowful and senile look? So we said, we are terribly sorry that you only know about God from the Bible. It is in some way, some sense, not really describing a universal, broad concept of God. In the Vedic scriptures, which you have unfortunately not yet read, we understand that the supreme personality of God is a person, and not limited like a gray old man, who, you know, who has some seven or five, some the seizing of the cells, but he is an all-present, beautiful personality of Godhead. Even Nietzsche, who was also quite nihilistic, he said he would believe in a God who would know, who would be young, not the word, who would knew how to dance and play on the flute. Nietzsche said he came too late, but he came too early. It's very unfortunate. He would have embraced the concept of Krishna, an all-present personality of God, and who's the Anupurusha, the oldest person, but who doesn't get really high because of that. And who's not under the influence of time, but who's the cosmic mover and the intelligence behind everything. So we talked, and he smiled and he said, yes, your monks always have good arguments. That's all. He didn't accept defeat, but he became a little servant, but a little more humble, let me say this. So it takes a long stretch
to actually come to understand that personality of Godhead. Bhagavan Jagannamante, after many births and deaths, this is what is stated here. The wise man begins to understand. Now, and when this happens, that God, that he understands Vasudeva or Krishna is everywhere, he decides to surrender his life to Krishna. Now, how do you surrender to God? He is far away, and yet so close that we don't see him in the beginning. To surrender to Krishna means really to surrender to Krishna's plan, and Krishna has a plan how he brings the conditioned souls closer to him. Krishna sends his pure devotees into the world who act as his representatives and who guide the conditioned souls to attain Krishna consciousness. See, Krishna can only be attained when the consciousness is sufficiently purified. But to attain to a pure state of consciousness, you need a process which you have to execute under the guidance of a personality who has already a purified consciousness. Krishna has invested his plan into the devotees, pure devotees, who are walking over this planet to instruct conditioned souls how to reach Krishna. When someone wants to surrender to Krishna, he has to surrender to Krishna's plan and therefore accept such one of such pure devotees as his guide and initiating spiritual master. Now, by the process of initiation, the consciousness, or let's say the person who gets initiated is transformed. Sometimes Goswami gives the example of a barrel of metal which is brought in contact with mercury, quicksilver, and then transforms into gold. It's a special alchemistic process which was done in previous times. So, by coming in contact with a pure devotee and receiving initiation from him, it is possible for us to become transformed, and also we can rise to the level of Krishna consciousness under his guidance, where it is possible for us to see Krishna face to face. Now, what exactly happens at the initiation into spiritual life is very interesting, and because tomorrow we have an initiation sacrifice in Ramakiri, I wanted to talk about this a little bit. See, at the initiation, a person is transformed, and what transformed means is a very interesting situation. We all who are sitting here are the products of our karma. We sit in a body. That body is a manifestation of parapta karma. In us, we carry what is called aparapta karma, that which is yet to come. Krishna Chandra just told me that he met a boy not long ago, and when he saw him,
He had a little dramatisches Gefühl, a dramatic feeling. And one day, one week later, he heard that the boy had had a deadly accident. He made a downhill. Now those of you who are not expert at skateboard running don't know what that is. You get on this skateboard. I mean, we in our young days used to drive roller, you know, these things, you know, with the two wheels. But now it's a skateboard which has earned the fascination of the younger generation. And he was driving down the Gotthard Pass or something. And then he came too fast and just was carried out of a curve and was smashed against one rock and died. So when Krishna Chandra met him, that future was already there in that person. It was not yet manifest. He had to die like this. This is called aparapta karma. Aparapta karma, in other words, is karma which is very subtle, but which is in our heart. In Japan, I understand, there is a library which has books. It has such a tiny print that you cannot read them with the naked eye. You need a microscope, and then you can read the book with a microscope. So, in the same way, no one sees, just like you cannot see with the naked eye. You cannot see the written text in the same way. I cannot see Mr. Gorbachev's aparapta karma or not manifested karma or Helmut Kohl's not manifested karma. But it is there, nevertheless, very clearly it is there, just like this tiny Japanese print there. And the future is already present. Now, by the process of Krishna consciousness, this aparapta karma, the future, becomes vanquished, is taken away. That means your future Ayamadara has changed. Maybe your karma would be to be by now a fire shloka. You are laughing, but Ayamadara comes from high power show business. Fire meter or for the torches into the mouth. But because you have joined the Hare Krishna movement, we are not doing that. Your karma has changed. Your unmanifested karma has changed. This is the power of these spiritual processes which are there in Krishna consciousness. We have in the scripture the example of Ajamila. Ajamila was born as a Brahmana but became a very, very degraded panditi against that. And he became related to a prostitute and had many, many children with her. Now, one day, when he was out of the forest robbing and killing, four saints arrived at the house of Ajamila, and they said, actually is wide open. You know, she was so sinful, she was shocked. And we are very hungry, said the boy, says, can we have something to eat? I'm very sorry, you can't come just now into our house. It was because of that sky was lying around, you know, and it was really a mess in the house. She said, but she also knew it was simple to tell saints to not, to just hit the road, you know, to get rest. She couldn't do that, so she said, why don't you go out to this banyan tree, I will cut a few fruits for you. So she did that. Then she came, she was already a little purified, she came with a plate of fruit. She was pregnant. And the saint saw this. So, oh, you expect a child? Yes. He bless you. Yes. That you, the name of your child will be Narayana. So then they left and the child was born. It came time to choose the name. And Aravir said, what name should we give him? Narayana, said the prostitute. What? That's a religious name. That's the name of God. We are not interested in this, are we? Why don't we call him Killing Tiger or something in her? Which makes sense. No, it's not prostitute. She didn't tell him because he would have become extremely angry if he would have known that it was because of the four saints. That's not a good name, said Adamir. If you don't call him Naram, there will be no further child. Okay, then call him Naram. So, then, at the time of his death, he became, how would you say, he became extremely shocked when he saw the messengers of death approaching. It's described in the Bhagavatam that these messengers of death have distorted faces and look extremely shocking. People in the hospital know that sometimes dying people react in a great shock. They begin to scream, no, get me, and no one is in the room. At least for the hospital personnel, but we know messages of death have just arrived. And some people pass stool and vomit because of shock at the time of death. One friend of ours, Mr. Ehrlichmann, has told us that he has often felt that the dying people saw the presence of some very horrible figures. So these messengers of death also came to Ajamil. And he was so shocked that he began to scream the name of his little boy who was playing nearby. And then he saw how all of a sudden four personalities appeared. The Vishnu Rudras. And these Vishnu Rudras said, Shakari, drop! So those three messengers of death who had appeared on the scene. The messengers of death who had appeared on the scene. So the question is,
is now why three messengers of death and four messengers of Vishnu? Very simple. I have here performed sins. This is body, mind and words. There were three messengers of death again. But the name of Krishna was four syllables. Narayana, four. Narayana. There were four messengers of the Lord appeared and said, stop to the messengers of death. And Arjuna was saved in this way by the messengers of death. Was he immediately going back home back to Godhead? No. He was given a chance to correct his sinful life and to live the life of a devotee, and then he died in devotion of consciousness and then back to Godhead. So, my dear new initiates, tomorrow you will get the name of God or a servant of God. Tomorrow at the initiation fire you will take your new birth. Now does this mean that this is automatically the guarantee that you go back home, back to Godhead? Well, if you correctly remember your lecture, Sachinanda Swami, you said our karma has changed. The karmic bonds are separated. The point is, with initiation, it is a beginning. You are given a new chance to start, to have a new start. But you also have to endeavor. This morning we were explaining that initiation can be compared to going to a doctor. When you go to a doctor, in one sense you can say, oh, now my health is sure. Don't you have this feeling when you finally get to the doctor, you know, my health is sure. But you have to also work. If you get the prescriptions of the doctor, take the medicine here and there, do so many walks a day, and don't do this, so on, and you will do it, then your cure will not be affected. So, in the same way, accepting the spiritual master or accepting initiation means now we have to work. We have to follow the directives, the instructions of the spiritual master. We shall not sit on the initiation fire if we are not going to do that. Why go to a doctor if you don't want to follow what he tells you? It won't have the required effect. So, in the same way, you have to start the life of following the instructions of the spiritual master. There is a very nice verse in this connection, in connection with the holy name, which many of you will get when you sit at the initiation form. The Samadhi of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Even a person born in the family of Brahmanas, that's us, or Brahmanas, maybe even in the West, you know, that is similarly well. Even a person born in the family of Brahmanas immediately becomes eligible to perform great sacrifices if he at once utters the holy name of them. So bring God's mercy about it, or chants about him. He is about his past lives, or asking obeisances, or even remembers him. In other words, a person who practices devotional service comprised of Shravana and Kirtana, it is described here, he becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. He becomes a Brahmana. Now, this means that he is given a unique chance. It's also not that someone who just chants as their own is automatically qualified. Jiva Goswami says, he is like a child of a Brahmana. A child of the Brahmana is eligible to get the seventh thread. But if he doesn't act accordingly, he is called a Brahmadhanu, someone who is not really qualified. In other words, initiation is a chance that you become qualified, because in this initiation ceremony, the karma is taken away from you, so that you can actually have the possibility to act on the qualified level. But you have to do those activities, otherwise you don't take full advantage of the initiation. The initiation ceremony is completed really by surrender. If you cannot surrender, then it's that initiation process you didn't utilize that initiation ceremony. It's a very serious thing. If you take it in all seriousness, you will be totally transformed, a new person. And I think that's what we all want. The Prabhupada really has said so nicely that the soul, all of us, desires the unlimited freedom of the spiritual world. The soul always wants to be a fully resident of that spiritual atmosphere. So Krishna consciousness is giving us this possibility. It's almost like the example of the butterfly. In the beginning stages, it's in the cocoon. But then it has the possibility to get rid of the cocoon and fly freely without the bondage of its previous existence. In the same way, initiation into Krishna consciousness in front of the process gives us the unique opportunity to become free of our karmic bonds. I wish all of you who are getting initiated and all of you who are already initiated a lot of spiritual strengths, so that you can, and a lot of determination, so that you can take full advantage of this wonderful chance which is given to you by the mercy of your spiritual master and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I wish you that you will not fall back to your karmic situation, but that by the fire of your devotional service, all remaining traces of karma are totally destroyed, and that you become a wonderful Vaishnava and servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Looking a little at the watch. Yes, this is what I wanted to explain today. Do you have any questions regarding this subject matter?
Initiation. association in this head, that one gets the holy name, like for example from white association, but one chants the holy name already before. Can you maybe explain what this really means?
It is the fact that the initiation gets the Harinam, but one has chanted already before. So what does this mean, one gets the Harinam? Well, every mantra is accompanied by sadachar. Sadachar means activities which are enabling you to chant the mantra. If you compare the mantra with the seed, then you could compare sadachar or spiritual activities with preparing the ground. Only if you have a ground which is prepared for the seed, and then the seed can sprout. In the same way, you understand? If you ever cast a bone, if you have a ground which is full of flowers and so on, the seed cannot take root there. So when you chant, you have to have sadachara, you have to have the right activities. Four rules and regulations are promised at the time of initiation, and it is understood that other processes, other activities are also done. So in initiation, you commit yourself to always do this for the rest of the life and beyond. To follow these rules and regulations so that the chant of Krishna consciousness, then the chanting can only take place. Before initiation, you have not made this vow, you have not made this commitment. But when you have made the commitment, then it can really grow the chanting of the holy name. Now you may say, well, but most of us are following the four rules and regulations also before initiation, isn't it? So in the scripture there is one verse that it says, chanting does not depend, chanting the holy name does not depend on any prashara activity, that is, preparatory activities. It doesn't even depend on initiation. That is a verse which I remember. But that only applies to someone who follows the sadachar. If you make offenses by chanting the holy name, you can don't get the holy name in its full strength. It doesn't matter. You get a shadow of the holy name. So, because with initiation, you become connected to the Guru Parampara, to Sampradaya, and you are trained in the proper behavior of Krishna consciousness, therefore the chanting of the holy name takes place, and therefore you get the holy name. Takes effect, and therefore you get the holy name. You have to get initiation. It is also part of sadachar, of the activities which support our spiritual life to get initiated. Krishna says so. If you want to know the truth, you have to approach a spiritual master. I don't know, you still look so, you look so doubtful. The enlightened, the aha, has not yet happened in your mind. When we throw a spark into straw, will it burn? Yes? Or if? Aha! Only if the straw is dry, it will burn. So in the same way, the chanting of the holy name will only put your hearts aflame.
In other words, will only take effect. If you are dry, that means if you are fully functioning for activities, and this is what we promise at initiation. And once again, I say, it will take to, you will become enlightened in Krishna consciousness if you do the right activities, and therefore the Sarachana initiation is part of this. There is already an effect of the holy name when you chant. But the full effect you can hear with it, you can get when you get this initiation. Now the second thing is, second reason why initiation is important when we show this, that the spirit of master will teach us in what is called Sambandha Jnana. That is our relationship with Krishna, with the function of the spirit of master. When you chant the whole name with knowing of your relationship of the of with Krishna, then it's much more effective than if you don't know it. Remember the example with the straw? It has to be in the proper space. Then it can be done. So in the same way the whole name can take much more effect than you can, that was said, when you are spirit of master, when you are initiated, I think that was a must. I'm so happy that so fully Buddha Panatma Chakras and the Kavikari Haydn so slowly.
Sees in his heart the beauty.
beautiful form of Shyama Sundara of Krishna. He doesn't see the Paramatma form. Paramatma, the Trilanga form. The Shyama Sundara, the holy name. So, you are chanting Krishna's holy name. Krishna comes. He's so personal. Hopefully you chant. Yeah. I remember once there was a devotee in a hospital and this man, a man died just next to him and began to scream, "Mama, Mama, Mama, Mama." And the devotees went over to him that "Mama can't save you now. Better call Krishna's name. Krishna, Krishna." Now, what has exactly happened to this man? I can't tell you. Maybe Krishna has sent the Vishnu Buddha to conquer the humanness, because he didn't have much knowledge about Krishna. No samadha gyan. This is all in this is speak the word of the Lord. But for a devotee, the Lord comes and takes him out of that ocean of birth and death. Good, so thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful initiation day, and all of the devotees who are initiated, who are looking on, please bless the young Vaishnavas who are getting initiated, that they have a good life of Krishna consciousness, their advancement, and not offenses, and give the rest to satisfy the wonderful spiritual master.
Oh, my God.